Matters. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM. We are excited to be back on the show again today. Our new time, 3 o'clock on Wednesdays. How you doing over there, Steve?
I love drive time.
You love drive time. Drive time keeps it moving, even though you're in traffic, probably.
Well, that you don't have to have as much caffeine if you're listening to all of our crazy stuff.
That is true. Last week, even my little brother Chris, 14-year-old, waged through the whole show, didn't fall asleep one time.
So and he didn't tap on the mic either. He did.
He did his job. He's a professional. It was like having Justin Bieber in the studio.
Yeah, it was.
Amazing. So we're excited today. We have a great guest. Listeners, stay listening. If you've ever wanted to be in the room or next, you had the next table in a coffee shop next to a $900 million company CFO or C-suite leader, we have Joe Schein with us today. We'll introduce him in a minute.
That's Joe Schein, $947
million. $947 million.
Soon to be a billion-dollar company.
That's amazing. Of Sheehy Auto Stores. He is the CFO of the Year award winner by Atlanta Business Journal. We're excited to have him on. But Steve, give us a little update over the last week. I loved our last week's show that was, we focused on business culture. If you listeners, if you missed it and you want to catch it, you can go to excellentcultures.com or search excellentcultures.com on iTunes. Get the podcast because we spent the whole hour focusing on what is business culture? How do you change it? Why is it important? It's not soft and squishy. It is part of our human nature that drives everything. And not to mention, you could always go online to excellentcultures.com/biz, culture MRI, and get a readout on your culture. Right, Steve?
Absolutely. Or just download the podcast, excellentcultures.com/podcasts, plural, because we've had some awesome guests, great leaders, C-suite executives from all sizes of company, from entrepreneurial to billion-dollar companies, share their insights and their thoughts and secrets. Best way to have solid learning and not get bored, because you just download it on your phone and listen to it while you're traveling or when you're bored in the doctor's office waiting to get in, or all of those other boring times that you'd like to have something fun going on.
Yeah, there you go. Just download the podcast, get it. Everything's free, and we're excited to provide this awesome way for you to sharpen the saw. As Steve said last week, a quote from Abraham Lincoln, not Stephen Covey, apparently. Stephen
Abraham
Covey got
Lincoln,
it from Abraham.
If someone gave me 8 hours to chop a pile of wood, I'd spend 6 hours sharpening my axe.
There you go, sharpening the axe. Covey called it sharpening the saw.
No, that's right. There you go. And he just tried to put his own spin on Abraham. But as far as I'm concerned, Abe said it all. Don't spin him. Just tell it like it is.
Yeah, that's right. Just tell it like it is. Well, Steve, why don't you introduce our guest that we have?
Well,
today?
Speaking of tell it like it is, I mean, our guest today, Joe Schein from the Sheehy Auto Group. I met Joe a few years ago when he was one of the regional CFOs for the Asbury Automotive Company, Fortune 500 automotive company, another great company, a firm that we've had the opportunity to support and do work for and help them build their excellent culture over the years. But, I mean, Joe is, speaking of tell it like it is and speaking of numbers, Joe is a numbers guy. He's a CFO, a career CFO, is excellent at, you know, helping big businesses manage their numbers and their finances. But he's a very rare individual because he's not just a numbers guy, he's a people guy. And, has volunteered as a Little League coach. He's been, won awards for, best in class in what he does, and just has some tremendous insights that he'll share with us today. We had the good fortune of interviewing Joe for a blog article a while back that you can catch on the culture news section at excellentcultures.com.
Yeah, it's entitled, It Doesn't Have to Be All About Profits.
Yeah, and yet what you'll find when you listen to Joe is when it's not all about profits, the profits become, significant and huge.
Yeah, there's a couple quotes on there that I know we've got Joe on the line and we're going to chime him in a minute, but there was some really good stuff that Joe shared that I really took to heart and really liked. One was, he said, as leaders, we need to make sure that our people never have to face the temptations of high pressure to take shortcuts wherever we can, which is amazing. I mean, we're all going to be under pressure, but as a leader to notice, let's get to a point where we can have our people have the opportunity to make quality decisions and not have to shortcut as often as we can. So,
well, we've tweeted Joe's quote so much that he shared with me the other day that his colleagues and fellow execs at Sheehy Automotive are actually asking him if he's on our payroll.
Yeah.
And you know, we couldn't afford Joe. I mean, yeah. You know, Joe no is kidding. is you know, a lot smarter than, you know, some of the guys that we know. That's why we're fortunate to have him, you know, share with us his insights and thoughts. Joe, take a few minutes and just, I mean, tell us about Sheehy Auto Stores. Tell us about, you know, your background, what you did before you joined Sheehy, what you're doing now. I mean, Sheehy has a lot of very unique policies and procedures that are very unique to automobile dealerships with respect to serving customers and building good culture and taking care of people that most folks that are listening to this probably have never even heard of. Take it away, Joe.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. As Steve said, you know, Sheehy is a dealer group in the Maryland, Virginia area with 19 locations and 22 franchises. Last year, our sales were $947 million. This year, we expect to exceed $1 billion in sales, which is a huge accomplishment for the organization. We're also striving toward our 50th birthday in 2016, looking forward to that and planning ahead for that and what kind of growth we want to have between now and then. But Sheehy is a little bit different than your typical automobile dealership franchise group. Really put emphasis on employees and doing the right thing. And we as leaders try to show and lead by example every day. And that shows throughout our employee base. When they see leaders doing it, they follow our example. And we see it every day in everyday transactions, and really just strive to do the right thing no matter what the cost. It's not about should you do the right thing depending on the cost. It's do the right thing, and we really push that message home to our employees and really empower them to do that and really lets them take care of the customers Our main goal is customer retention, and it's not about profits. It's about retaining customers for life and doing the right thing. And we also remove the temptation for salespeople to put profits ahead of taking care of the customer. Their pay plans aren't solely based on commissions. A lot of organizations have a 100% commission pay plan that really drives bad behavior, I think,
right,
with salespeople and not taking care of customers like they should be taken care of. We don't have that philosophy. We also have a philosophy of, hey, you buy a car, you're not happy with it, return it.
Wow, that's a first. That's a first.
We have a three-day return policy.
So if anybody buys a vehicle from you, and for any reason whatsoever, they could just decide that they changed their mind, they didn't like it, bring it back, they get their money back?
Yes.
That's huge.
And that policy has been in place for years, so that's nothing new.
So even before customer satisfaction surveys were invented, Sheehy was doing that, right, Joe?
Yes. And so
you guys were doing it before Nordstrom's.
Yep, and, you know, I've been here since April, and that type of policies is one of the reasons why I came here. I was with Asbury Automotive Group for 14 years. Started out as a CFO of a regional platform. Ended my time there as CFO of dealership operations over 80 dealerships. Really just was able to grow and with that organization, and that's one of the things we stress at Sheehy as well. It's just not a job. We want people to make it a career. Show them upward mobility. We like to promote from within, and we've done that. Several of our general managers started off as salespeople, and now are general managers. So employees see the possibility of their future growth with us. We never want anybody just to feel like they're a number or an employee. Really feel like if that's the case, that's where they become disengaged. We want them feeling as part of the team, empowered, looking for great ideas from them to help the organization, and not just tell them what to do and how to do it. And I think some of those principles really help us be the organization that we are.
Very well said, Joe. Very well said. We're going to take a break here in a little bit. Zach will tell us when, but when we have a little more time and we come back, I want you to give us, you know, some of your background. You know, you're the first CFO that I've ever met that broke his neck playing football when you were 15 and is still alive, let alone, you know, functional and working. And, you know, I know that your personal experiences with that adversity and what you did after that and how you become, you know, who you are today, you know, has a lot to do with your character and the character of the firm that you work for and the character of the firms that you've always worked for.
That's the story we want to pick up for right after this.
Remember Ross Perot, the Texas millionaire who ran for president in the early 90s? Did you realize that he's built multiple companies that sold for billions? Each of his companies held a strong values-based culture. We interviewed his CFO and COO. His insightful comments on the role of culture in business are posted on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com. Take a look. You'll gain wonderful insights to building your own excellent cultures on excellentcultures.com. You can also follow us at XLNT Cultures or Facebook/Excellent Cultures.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
As an executive, CEO, or business owner, do you find yourself struggling with work-life balance and achieving your goals at work and home? Are you overwhelmed in your workload and feel important things aren't getting done? Our coaches specialize in helping leaders like you overcome challenges and build a plan to recenter their life, to achieve the balance and success you've always hoped for in your business and your personal life. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures about the right plan for you.
Back to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM. We're just about to get the Joe Shine life story. Steve, lead back into that.
So Joe, you know, give us some background. I mean, go all the way back to, you know, your experiences as a youth that helped you become, you know, who you are today, and, you know, lead the way you lead and grow the way that you grow people.
Okay. Well, as you said, back when I was 15, had a very unfortunate accident that really shaped how I viewed things from that point forward. Was an excellent baseball player, probably could have played at college. Had colleges talking to me about playing college, and one unfortunate day had a football injury that changed everything. First day of practice, broke my neck, spent the better part of a year in the hospital, three surgeries. Really made me see how lucky I was to even be walking, let alone alive. Had a steel plate implanted in my neck now that kind of holds me together. But from that day on, I was just really thankful and really decided that I was going to do what I could to give back, because I was so fortunate, and not monetarily, but just fortunate to be where I was. And since that time, I've done quite a few things from volunteering in a fire department on an ambulance for 3 years to being the president of a local youth baseball organization for 9 years to being on the board of the Children's Healthcare Hospital and helping raise $500,000 for cancer research to being a board member of the Junior Achievement of Atlanta. All those things just really just giving back to the community because I feel so fortunate to be where I am and who I am. Those charitable events led me to be nominated and win the CFO of the Year Award in Atlanta for community service. So that was a...
And then the firm, you also won Best Places to Work in Atlanta. That was the first time an automotive company had ever won that award for the Atlanta newspaper. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. For the Atlanta Business Chronicle, the first year we won it, and they break it down into three categories, small, medium, and large companies, and we were a large company with more than 1,000 employees. That was the first year an automobile dealership had actually won it. I think Children's Healthcare came in second. Organizations like that was always the organizations that that would win it, where, you know, it was really beneficial and rewarding being there, and the employees really felt that way. Well, we won it that first year, and that was the first year a car company had won it. The next year we won it again, and that was the first time that any company had ever won it back-to-back. So that was a huge accomplishment. The third year, we came in second place. So we didn't win it 3 years in a row, but in 3 years, we won it twice and came in second. So that was really a proud accomplishment of the organization. And it really just really led or came from just the way the employees talk to each other, work with each other. That all started when we went through and put the managers through excellent cultures. And it just changed the culture of the organization, and along with Charles Oglesby, I got to give him credit. He was the one that really was the mastermind of the organization as CEO and driving home the culture that really was a significant change. And I think that too had a big part to do with it, going from one type of culture to an excellent culture, positive culture. Really swung the other way to a very big positive, and I think the employees saw that, and I think that just magnified the type of culture we had coming from where we'd been. And 2 years in a row and finishing second to third year was a pretty proud accomplishment. First year that we won, we went around, and just to show our appreciation for all the people, we went around and had meetings with all our employees and gave each one of them a $100 bill, thanking them for what they do every day and being part of the company.
$100 times 1,000, employees on a non-budget item could, stretch the suspenders on most companies, Joe.
Yes, but... we tried not to look at a cost, but a value. And if we look at what the value of something is versus the cost, it's a whole different perspective. And we try to look at things, what something was worth to us versus what the cost was.
Yeah, I want to hear some more about that, look at the value versus the cost scenario, because I know that's one of your big philosophical mantras that you've made work in a number of businesses, and then is working very, very effectively at Sheehy Auto Stores right now, your current employer. But I want to take a few minutes. You mentioned Charles Oglesby, who is the recently retired CEO and chairman of the Asbury Automotive Company, Fortune 100 automotive consolidator. I think, when you left, Joe, there was, close to almost 100 dealerships that they owned from Texas toward the east. Charles is probably listening to this show, just getting off the golf course, with his feet up having a mint julep because he retired. He retired last July. But phenomenal leader. I've been after him to write a book called The Car Salesman Who Became a Fortune 500 CEO, and he loves the title, but I think he loves his golf game and relaxed lifestyle a little more. I know you guys worked together for quite a while, and you made a wonderful, wonderful team. Tell us, a little bit about this look, stop looking at the cost and look at the value philosophy. How have you been able to operationalize that into how you run a business, how you coach your people, how you advise your, other C-level executives and your CEO that turn into good things for the business?
Okay. Well, I think it's hard, learning from the excellent culture, the old lock-in, lock-out principle. I think it's hard to look at a cost of something and then see the true value of it. I think you either see the value or see the cost. It's hard to do both. You got to be real good to be able to see both and measure the two. But I think too often we look at something as what the cost is, and we don't even see what the value is. And I think if you look at things first as what the value is, and then you assess what the cost is, it's a whole different perspective of looking at something. And if you look for value or benefits, you'll find it. If you look for cost and try to justify the cost, it's harder to do it than looking at the value first. And I think really too often leaders look at a cost and shoot something down, not really taking into account what the value or the benefit of something is.
Yeah, I know when we interviewed you for the blog article, which listeners, you can capture and download and review at excellentcultures.com on the Culture News blog section. You were giving us your view of a vision of a culture of ethics, values, and employee engagement, and you gave us a number of just amazing policies that Sheehy Auto Stores have in place that focus on value and maintaining long-term relationships with customers rather than, what's in it for us and selfish nature, make us feel good now and have a good quarterly report, but might not look so good for the long haul, that, we want you to, give us, some of your insights. I mean, tell us, give us your thoughts on, what's a culture of ethics, values, and employee engagement look like to you, Joe?
Okay. Well, I think first, one of the most important things for employee engagement is really that employees trust their supervisors and also that they feel trusted by their supervisors. I think that's a very important fact. If they feel as though they're going to be questioned for what they do, even if it's the right thing for customers, they're going to tend to be disengaged a little bit with that, and they got to feel like we're going to do the right thing always, and we've got high character and integrity, and they're going to follow the example, and that we trust them and empower them to do the right thing, and if it's not the right thing, that it's going to be okay. We'll coach them up and do better next time. And really just that thought process really gets employees engaged and looking for better ways to do things. We never want to shut them down. We've got 1,400 employees and 1,400 employees thinking of things, ways to do things better is a lot better than 5 or 10. And we've got to encourage them to be that person, be that employee, and they can't be that employee if they're going to be shot down or not trusted or not empowered. So we feel it's better to have 1,400 people working to be better than a handful of supervisors and managers.
Well, that's really good. I'm looking forward to hearing more of that as we come back from the break. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters. We've got Joe Shine from Sheehy Auto Stores. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
ExcellentCultures.com is always interviewing leaders committed to cultural leadership, excellence, and change. These leaders, like Russell Freeman, Ross Perot's COO, and Bob Hinton, CPA and Moss Adams Managing Partner, have world-class ideas. As advocates for creating a strong corporate culture that builds people and serves customers with excellence, they share breakthrough business ideas. Gain insights from Russell, Bob, and others on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
Has business taken over your life? Are you living to work or working to live? Stress, broken marriages, neglected relationships, and poor health are symptoms of a life out of balance. The right coaching plan can have transformational impact on the quality of your performance at work, depth of relationships at home, and personal sense of well-being. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures how coaching can help you maximize your life and optimize your work. Stop struggling to survive. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures how coaching can help you maximize your life and optimize your work.
Back, listeners. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM. We have Joe Shine from Sheehy Auto Stores on the line with us today. And we were just getting into how you guys are developing culture down there, Joe. One of my favorite things, as Steve was asking you that question, also from our blog article, was how you said we don't criticize or correct our employees' decisions. We just coach them on it, and that shows them that we trust them. Could you lead us into how that plays out? How do you guys do that? How does that look on a day-to-day function?
Well, really, just, you know, continually looking for ways to be better. And nobody tries to make mistakes. And you almost got to encourage it to try different things and realize that mistakes are going to happen and learn from those mistakes and do better next time. If we start shutting people down because they failed at something, we'll be completely shut down in a matter of time. It's just a matter of time how long it takes to get through all the employees before you shut them all down. So we never want to do that. We want to encourage them to be free thinking, and as long as they don't break laws or go outside the boundaries. But we want them to think of better ways to do things with the goal of taking care of the customers and doing what's right. Always in their mindset, and we do that, and it starts from the leaders and funneling down to the leaders at the dealerships, in turn to their employees. But it's got to be a culture, and it's got to start from the top for that to work.
Yeah, well, it's so interesting, Joe, kind of reflecting back on what you just told us, that I mean, it's impossible to look at both the cost and the value. You either see a business experience or a business engagement as a cost, or you see it as a value, and you can't do both. So, I mean, we're gonna quote you and tweet you on that one, because that is so true. One of the things that I learned when we interviewed you on the blog article that was, impressive and amazing of how you guys at Sheehy have kind of put that into, you know, put some muscle, some action to your words, so to speak, your money where your mouth is, in a way that was meaningful and effective and consistent, where some of these policies, I mean, you told us that if you made a $1 mistake on figuring someone's tax and title, that you pay the entire fee for the customer. You've already told us about the 3-day money back guarantee that has been in place since the 1970s, is that right?
Yes.
So before Nordstrom even thought about it, let alone got written up about it, in Search of Excellence, the first excellence book, you guys were doing it and proving it that it worked in the retail automobile business. And then the one that impressed me so much was that you mark down every vehicle, you know, in all of your 19 dealerships to what you feel the market price is, so the customer doesn't have to come in and sharpen up their negotiation tactics in order to do business with you. I mean, you're the CFO. You're supposed to be looking out for costs. How in the world can you make policies like that work when they're just the opposite of controlling costs?
Well, back to your tag and title and the overcharges. I mean, we've got to have customers that trust us. If we have customers that trust us, they'll continue to do business with us. Trust is a big factor, and with car dealerships, trust always hasn't been a factor. In fact, I think that's why most car franchises, dealerships are the way they are, because there's a distrust factor with customers that they're not getting the best price or somehow they didn't get the best deal. So we show them what the best deal is, and developing a trust factor with them, really it all starts with trusting our employees and our employees, you know, showing that trust and showing customers that they can trust us. And by sending them a $2 check because we overcharged them goes a long way in developing trust with them. When they bring a car in for service, we tell them, you know, what needs to be done, what doesn't need to be done. I mean, they're not used to hearing that something doesn't need to be done. So really just continually, you know, building that trust factor with the customers leads them to be lifelong customers.
And the lifelong customer is a lot more valuable than a one-time customer that you made a lot of profit on but never comes back. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And the amount of money we spend trying to get new customers, the cost is small in comparison to keep a good customer happy and trusting us. Doesn't even compare to how much you have to spend in advertising to get a new customer if you lose that one. And if you lose that one, pretty good chance they're going to talk to about 10 or 15 people about their bad experience. We want people talking about the good experience that brings us 10 or 15 customers. And sometimes there's a cost to develop that trust and that good referral, but it's nothing compared to what we spend in advertising trying to get a new customer that may or may not come.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I was talking to your boss, Vince Sheehy, the CEO of Sheehy Auto Stores, earlier today on the phone about an exercise that he's doing with our Excellent Cultures tools to, you know, improve his ability to lead, you know, to be a more effective leader and set the example, you know, for all of the leaders of your, you know, 1,400 employees. And, you know, one of the things that amazes me about Vince and about you and about, you know, the other guys on your leadership team is that your philosophy is, here, I'll do it first. I mean, I'll do it first. You know, look at me, tell me where I can improve. I realize I'm not perfect. Show me my blind spots, my things that I don't see, as opposed to, I'm going to sit up on my throne and tell you guys what you need to change and what you need to do. I mean, that is so unheard of for most traditional styles of leadership, you know, and especially in your industry when traditionally it's kind of been a top-down type of culture. You know, was Sheehy always this way, or is it something that just kind of changed, or has it been that way for almost 50 years?
I think it's always been that way, and really just the organization has changed over the years. It's become a lot bigger. Previously, it was a group of about six stores, and everybody was really hands-on, and it was a little bit smaller. But those same principles as a small organization has stayed with the organization as it has gotten bigger. So, very much hands-on and involved. I've been in meetings with Vince before where he'll pick up a phone and it'll be a customer calling about something, and he drops everything and takes care of the customer. Nobody shies away from helping a customer and starts at the top.
Yeah, so true, so true. I mean, and typically what we find is executives that are all about, you know, ducking those types of punches from out of left field instead of sticking their chin out and saying, let me have your best shot because I think I can learn from it or grow from it. You know, he says huge things about your culture. Joe, tell us, you know, you've given us your vision of what a culture of ethics, values, and employee engagement looks like. And what I hear you saying is that, you know, two key words. One is look at the value, or two key principles, look at the value, not the cost. And the other is the T word, you know, trust. Tell us where you've seen, you know, those kind of cultures start to fall apart or degenerate over time. And what are some of the things that people and leaders should look out for, trouble signs, if you will?
Well, I think when things don't go as planned, and they always don't go as planned, but when they don't go as planned, if you as a leader aren't true to your principles and you compromise your principles and your employees see you compromise your principles, then everything goes out the window. You got to stay true to your principles and your beliefs through good or bad times. And lead by that example to your employees. If you don't, if you make exceptions or you condition anything just because of the state of the business or what is currently happening, then you lose all credibility with your employees. Like, yeah, that's a good policy, but not now because something has changed. So you got to be true to your principles through thick or thin, and lead by that example to your employees, and they'll follow suit. But I think that's really, when things are going great, it's easy to hold true to your principles and your beliefs. When profits aren't where you want them to be, and it's questionable, now you've got to do something that's going to cost you money, but it's the right thing, and you question whether you should do it or not, that's when really things start to unravel, and the credibility factor goes out the window because you compromise your principles based on something other than doing the right thing.
Well, we've heard a lot of leaders. Well, everyone has heard a lot of leaders preach about and give, you know, pontificational sermons about staying with their values, and, you know, especially in tough times. But sticking your chin out and saying, as a CEO or a CFO, and saying, show me what my weaknesses are and help me improve them, to people that you lead, is a whole different story by way of living it as opposed to just talking about it. And when we get back, I think, from the next break, Joe, we want you to give us a little bit more input on, you know, what is it about what's going on at Sheehy that causes you guys as leaders to want to improve and get better bad enough that you're willing to get straight up feedback from your people about not just what you're great at, but where you can improve.
And we're going into our last break before our last segment. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM. Hey, catch us. Ask the experts at excellentcultures.com. Or right now, go to excellentcultures.com/biz, B-I-Z, cultures, culture MRI, Biz Culture MRI. Get an assessment on your culture. We'll be right back.
Remember Ross Perot, the Texas millionaire who ran for president in the early 90s? Did you realize that he's built multiple companies that sold for billions? Each of his companies held a strong values-based culture. We interviewed his CFO and COO. His insightful comments on the role of culture in business are posted on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com. Take a look. You'll gain wonderful insights to building your own excellent cultures on excellentcultures.com. You can also follow us at XLNT Cultures or Facebook/Excellent Cultures.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
As an executive, CEO, or business owner, do you find yourself struggling with work-life balance and achieving your goals at work and home? Are you overwhelmed in your workload and feel important things aren't getting done? Our coaches specialize in helping leaders like you overcome challenges and build a plan to recenter their life to achieve the balance and success you've always hoped for in your business and your personal life. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures about the right plan for you.
Okay, we're back on Biz Culture Matters. Before the break, we were talking to Joe Shine, CFO of the Sheehy Auto Stores, about, you know, the examples of, you know, living your values and living your culture and setting an example by your actions as opposed to just talking about it. And I asked him, you know, a question about, you know, what's different about, you know, the Sheehy organization that has caused them to grow significantly to where this year they'll be a $1 billion company, when, you know, you've got leaders who aren't just interested in hearing the good news. They want to hear the bad news about their own weaknesses as leaders and look at it as an opportunity to improve. Joe, what's going on? What causes that? Has it always been that way? You know, what are your thoughts along those lines?
Well, I'm not sure it's always been that way, but everybody has weaknesses, and as leaders, if we're willing to face those weaknesses that we have and resolve them and get feedback from employees on how we can be better, they're going to take a look at themselves and say, yeah, I've got weaknesses too. How can I be better? And they're more open to suggestions for improvement, and there's a willingness there to become better. And when we all strive to be better, we will be better, and the organization will be better for it. So that's kind of where it starts, and you know, again, leading by example. If we're willing to take a look at ourselves and see what we could be doing better, employees will do the same, and the organization will be stronger for it.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Years ago, I had the opportunity to be working with one of the original senior executive founders of the Nordstrom department store organization. And, you know, he was sharing his perspective on the fact that people identify with you more on the basis of your weaknesses than they do your strengths. And especially when you're talking about this trust factor. And it sounds like, you know, what you guys are working on implementing at the Sheehy Auto Stores is that essential principle of looking at, you know, weaknesses and being transparent about those weaknesses as a vehicle to help everybody improve, starting at the top. And what more better way to, or what better way would there be to share the philosophy that, you know, value is more important than cost to your employees by way of example than that kind of transparency and vulnerability? Good for you guys.
Yeah, and you know, since we've been going through the Excellent Cultures training, just the way that people talk to each other now, I've really seen a change in that. That it's more positive. There's no defense mechanisms that come up when you're talking to somebody. There's no blame game going on. It's just, how can we be better? And it's just a funner environment to be around, and really just frees up the thought process for everybody to, okay, let's figure out how we can be better instead of worrying about who did what. You know, what can we be doing to be better, and not taking anything personally or throwing up the defense mechanism to say, yeah, that's not me, and really just pushing that down through the organization as well, that getting all our employees thinking that way.
Well, so you guys are in the, you know, on the Beltway, you know, all of your stores surround the, you know, greater Washington, D.C. area, you know, the hotbed of every kind of politics you could ever imagine, you know, as the headquarters in our national capital. And, you know, what I hear you saying is not at all about politics, but it's about straight up, straightforward truth. If you don't agree with me, let's talk about it, as opposed to people smiling and nodding their heads and acting like they agree and being politically correct, instead of addressing differences and talking them through, which is just so refreshing, especially in light of Gallup's new survey that tells us that some 71% of our workforce in North America are effectively disengaged in their jobs. I mean, 71% of Americans go to work every day wishing that they weren't there, wishing that they could do something else, hoping, you know, really looking forward to, you know, punching a clock or, you know, finishing their day and collecting their salary check, you know, to go home and do what they really want to do. Tell us, Joe, tell us some of your thoughts around this whole, you know, employee engagement piece and what it is that, you know, you guys are working on doing at Sheehy to, you know, engage your people as opposed to what we see as happening nationally.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I've been in organizations that were like that. And
oh, you mean really, you've worked for normal organizations before?
Right. Really didn't enjoy going to work every day. Really wasn't thinking of ways to improve things. Or really was just trying to figure out how to get through the day. And the negative talk within the organization was constant, and it was just not focused on how we can be better. Just complaining about, you know, how we are today. And so I've been there. Done that, and it wasn't fun, and I guess it really helps me understand the difference now between a positive culture, a culture that's thinking of ways to do better, and the no-blame game. It's completely different and so much better. I can appreciate it because I've been on the other side, and a lot of employees, if you've got employees that supposed to be at work at 9 o'clock and they show up at 8:59, that should tell you something. I mean, they're not excited about coming to work every day. They don't feel the joy of accomplishment of what they do. They're just punching a clock, and you're not going to get the best out of those people. And they hold themselves back. So getting them to be part of the team, a bigger vision than just an employee or a number, really makes all the difference in the world in the organization. And we're starting to see that now, and continually pushing and fostering that it goes throughout the whole organization.
That's amazing that, you know, you can simplify it and boil it down so specifically when, you know, we've got basically a rampant nationwide trend here towards disengaged employees. And, you know, here a good guy from the South tells us that it's all about focusing on the value instead of the cost. It's about building trust. And it's about engaging people, doing what it is that they love to do, as opposed to trying to bribe them into doing something, you know, with dollars that they could care less about.
Right. Yeah. That's a short-term fix, and really, you want the long-term solution, and you want employees that see the value of working for your organization, and really want to be a part of it, and really want to grow with it.
So, Joe, you guys at Sheehy have won just about every excellence award that, you know, your industry offers, you know, with all of the automotive manufacturers that you represent and all of the, you know, in a very, very competitive business, and a business that has not been known for ethics or values or sustainability just industry-wide. You know, and I know that, you know, you're a great coach, and you know, you love to coach, and you've coached kids baseball before. Put your coach's hat on for a second, and you know, give our listeners some tips about, you know, what can they do, what can they be doing, what should they be doing if they're serious about building, you know, a culture of ethics, values, and true employee engagement in their organization? What, you know, what should they be doing that maybe they're not right now?
Well, I think one of the most important things is talking about the right things and doing the right things versus not doing the wrong things. And really getting people to think that way as to the right thing. I coaching my kids in baseball, I never told them, don't do this. I always told them what to do, how to do it, not don't do this or don't pull your head out or don't lift up. I wanted them focused on what they should be doing, not what they should not be doing. So I think that's a big part of it. And when your mindset is, what should I be doing that's right versus not doing what is wrong, that's two different mindsets, and we want them to be thinking of doing the right thing and have that thought process versus not doing the wrong thing.
That's so simple yet so true. Coach people to do the right thing rather than avoid doing the wrong thing. Pretty simple, but pretty amazing. Can you imagine, you know, what athletes are like if all they're told is, you know, what they did wrong, the mistake they made in the last game, how they're not as good as you would like them to be, and then you expect them to go out and do it right for a change. So simple yet so true, Joe. Anything else? Any other advice that you could give to our listeners? We've got about a minute and a half left. You know, what can you tell leaders that they can do differently that will make a difference in their culture and their value and their performance?
Just to restate it, but you know, doing the right thing and leading by example and setting the example for your employees goes a long way in the organization, and just can't underestimate the value of that. Leading by example in a positive way with high character and high integrity. Lead your employees to act in the same way. I mean, they follow your example, so whatever example you're setting, they're going to follow. And whatever principles you stay hard and true to, they're going to. So it's just leading by example and you know, not being afraid to roll up your sleeves and do it. You know, you never ask anybody to do something you're not willing to do. And showing them that type of work ethic also helps them that they're going to do what they need to do. You know, if you're willing to do it, they're going to do it. So just leading by example in the positive way is the way to do it.
So setting the example of doing the right thing with your actions as opposed to just talking about it goes a long way. Listeners, you've been listening to Joe Shine. Joe, thank you so much. This is been a wonderful time frame. Has gone by much faster than any of us thought it would. We so appreciate your feedback.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Zach.
Yes, we're glad to have you. All right, listeners, play 1180. Biz Culture Matters. We'll see you next week at 3 o'clock.
I'm Jackie Joyner-Kersee. Is your asthma slowing you down? Find out. Visit asthmaactionamerica.org or call 1-800-377-9575.
Is the housing crisis impacting you? We can help. Certified counselors are here to work with you and your lender. Call the National Foundation for Credit Counseling at 866-687-6322 or visit mortgagehelpnow.org.